Hey everybody, I'm Andy.
And I'm Sean.
And this is the Commander's Brew.
This week, Arami of the Dead Tide.
Hey everybody, welcome back. It's episode 272 of the Commander's Brew podcast. We're back after our lengthy Commander Legends set reviews. We're back on the proper microphones. We're back on the proper settings. We're good. We are raring. We're ready to go. We're back to deck brewing here.
Yeah, and what a season for it. Have the number of possible Commander command zone setups, when you factor in all the combination of partners, we've gotten the number of possible unique command zones has almost doubled.
Like, yeah, over all of Commander, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there used to be like 1,000 commanders, and now with all, there's like 1,500 new combinations or something like that. I'm just making up numbers, but it's an astonishing amount.
It's wild. It's absolutely wild. It's blown wide open, as was predicted by many of us Commander players. I love it. I love it. Have you seen or like heard of, or because I think the set officially dropped today?
Oh, I saw some, so hard to keep track.
I saw some streamers on Magic Online playing it just earlier today. And I was seeing a lot of crazy interactions. I mean, obviously MTGO is not the best place for Commander, but
Is Commander Sphere in the set? I forget.
Oh, I forget too. I think it is. It is. Yes, it is.
Because that card on MTGO is toxic.
Yeah, it's so annoying.
It prevents any automation whatsoever. You have no option but to either click every priority or fully skip everything and just hope that so if you want to just wait for a counter spell, you have to click every single party. You can't even do that thing where you like tap out all your mana. Like, I've seen that on MTGO.
Yeah, that's
where
a nice trick people pull. Yeah,
they'll tap themselves out. It's like, okay, well, I have no action, so I'll tap myself out. Commander Sphere don't care if you're tapped out, so you can't do that to get around that.
Exactly.
Maybe they fixed it. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the bigger, because like there's a bunch of cards that work like that, but I think the bigger problem is that it's so often run in, you know, multicolored decks. So
it's such a slog. Slog. It is hard. I will admit, it is hard to play Commander on MTGO when you cannot shortcut anything.
But I mean, that's why we have Spelltable these days. You know, we got our paper cards up and working. We got our webcams. You know, we got our setups. We're seeing everyone's lovely play mats these days. I'm loving watching the streams. I'm loving hosting the streams. We're having a great time. You and I played with Alias V and Gavin Verhey the other night. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, got a sneak preview of Nivineral. Mm-hmm. Or
Nevinirul.
I'm used to saying Nivineral.
Nivineral, yeah.
But I believe Gavin referred to him as Nevinral.
Oh, really? I like your version better. And I think this is one of those things that, like Kalitas and Kalitas, the community decides. The community decides on these names because they're not real.
I think so.
They're not real. It's some guy's name backwards or something, right? But you know, I mean, this week was great because we got to actually think about these cards inside of decks as opposed to just kind of in a vacuum, right? Like as on their own. So this is the first week back with Bruin and stuff, so it was very nice. It was very good to be back.
Oh yeah, I'm excited, looking forward to seeing like, oh, here's one of the partners that I really enjoy, and it's like, oh great, you can see that partner and their effect a lot, like in like a dozen different decks.
Yeah. Yes, that's
so
right.
It's like, oh, you know, I like what this commander does. It's like, great. How about in a blue-red version? How about in a blue-green version? How about in a blue-white version? How about in a blue-black version? How about in this new blue-black version?
And like, it's interesting because like that can easily go the wrong way, right? Like that sort of thing where you have you know, an ability that's just in all the colors. So it's like every, so there's no spec, like it's not special or anything like that. But I think that most of the stuff in this set manages to really like make the color pie make sense still. I mean, obviously that's the kind of hallmark of any good Magic card, really. And I think a lot of them do that, and but still managing to make it feel like in Commander, we get a lot of abilities spread over a lot of different colors, and but each version of that, you know, whether it's like a Dimir +1/+1 counter deck or a green or a Selesnya one, they're different, and they're different enough, right? Or they're still using similar mechanics, but they do feel very different. They're good, they're good with that.
I love that. I do love that. I also want to take this time to say that I called it. I was chatting with Discord. I love the idea of a Commander Cube. Yeah. One of the people in our Discord, Neomaxis, has a wicked Oathbreaker Cube. Ooh. That is like, is so fun to play. And he made a house rule that was like all of the uncommon War of the Spark hybrid planeswalkers, they all had partner for the purposes
that makes sense.
And then so then I was thinking, like, how do you solve the Commander problem in a regular Commander draft? And my solution was just like, just make all monocolored legendaries have partner. So like, that's not the intended design of the cube, but you know, if you get stuck, it's like, sure. But then after thinking about it, I was like, you know what, I kind of want to see a what's his name, who's the Umezawa, mm-hmm. the 1/3 where everything's unblockable if it has power or toughness 1.
Right, yeah, yeah. From Dominaria, yeah, yeah.
From Dominaria, to partner him up with Annex, hardened, the new mono-red Annex. So Annex makes all those little 1/1s when red things die, and now those are all unblockable with Umezawa. It's like, that's a pretty sick little partner combo.
It is.
So
yeah.
Would it, off the top of my head, how bad would it be if we just said, you know what? All monocolored legendaries have partner.
Yeah, you know, that is very interesting, because obviously the first thing that pops to your mind is like, is this going to be broken? Is this going to be too powerful? Is there some combination?
That's always what we want to avoid.
And I bet you there's some combo of two monocolors where it's just like, okay, this is just an infinite combo or something of that nature. In which case, I mean, you can just kind of, if this is a house rule, you can just be like, well, you just can't pick those two. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But without going too deep into that, I think for the most part, like, this set has kind of, I think you do have to design for it, but there's some really powerful cards in here that have partner, right? Like, Jeska, yeah. You know, the two Planeswalkers specifically, Tevishzat also, that Kamal, I mean, I know it's like 8 mana or something to cast him, but like, he's an overrun, literally overrun printed on a creature card. And just keeps getting it. Like, that's a very powerful card, especially when you're pairing it up with something that can tap for mana, for example, which is also in this set. So these types of things that seem like they're going to be overpowered if we partner them with stuff, you know, it's not as bad as it like maybe we first thought. So I think there's some like the mono blue Teferi. That can be your commander.
The planeswalker.
That guy feels like we shouldn't be able. We don't need to partner him up with anyone.
Okay.
So there's probably a bunch like that. But I think like if you wanted to make a, certainly if you want to make a cube, or if there's some combo that you really want to try and play, I bet you can convince your meta that it's cool.
Yeah, like my brain wants to try to put like
or
Neheb.
Or how about
who
this?
We're gonna partner.
How about yeah. We pull it back just a tiny bit? How about we say all of the mono-colored partners in, or maybe even, yeah, all the mono-colored partners in this set can partner with any other mono-colored, like, their partner doesn't need to have a partner. That can just be another.
One-way partner.
One-way partner, exactly. So
partners with mono-colored.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Partners with mono-colored, yeah. So that might be interesting, because that way, you know, these things were designed for partner. These things maybe weren't, but I feel like the synergy there would be pretty good.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
I mean,
when they first started talking about partner again, that's how in my brain it worked, that like these guys could be partnered with anyone.
Oh,
I just like,
yeah.
I forgot what partner actually was for a second. It's like, I was like, this is way too powerful. Feels, this is crazy. And then a day later, I was like, oh, wait, I'm dumb. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Give me original monogreen Omneth with Neheb. That's a partnership.
That's a mean partnership.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Monogreen Omneth with a lot of things is going to be real good.
Sure. So maybe you got to errata, like, okay, so Monogreen Omneth can't play. Like, Monogreen Omneth lost partner.
Yeah.
Maybe Baral can't have partner. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, like you said, there's a couple for sure. There's a few that you would need to do that.
But there's probably so many fun ones that are so fair.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. I think if you do this thing with partner means partner with mono.
Yeah.
I think that might be cool.
Ooh, fun. Fun.
Very fun.
I mean, I could spend the rest of the show talking about this, but we do have other things planned. Shall we get to it?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's get into it.
Okay, let's do the business. Let's thank you for listening. Everybody, you're hearing me say thank you, and it is to you. Yes, you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Thank you for listening. It means so much to us that you would listen to our show. That's how this is all possible. It's the equation of show and audience. You're an important part of it. Thank you for listening. Extra special thanks. Some of you had decided, you know what, we want to support you and we love what you're doing. So these people have gone to patreon.com/commandersbrew to donate financially. That helps immensely. Actual getting stuff like gear and web costs and like random things like that. So thank you for that. And some of you, you know, you can also help in other ways if you so choose. You can go to the TCG Player link in this show notes or any of our other show notes. That'll get you through, like, to the site there. And if you buy any singles that way, great. We get a little slice of that action. If you are a Canadian listener, we do have the best deal for you. We can get you actual money off your Magic cards if you go to the Wizards Tower, wizardstower.com, and we've got an ad for you now.
The Commander's Brew is a podcast proudly produced in Canada, and we're proud to be sponsored by the Wizards Tower, wizardtower.com, one of Canada's premier card stores. We've got an exclusive coupon code for our Canadian listeners. To get 5% off any order of singles from the Wizards Tower, use our coupon code BREWZENDIKAR. And if you order $15 or more worth of singles, the shipping is free. You can also check out our deck list for this week's episode and any other episode we've done on their content site, mtgcanada.com. See you there, friend Dikar.
Right on. Okay, well, this week we got a really cool, like, little bit of a list. A little bit of a listicle, a little bit of a clicky list for you. But it's going to be fun because, as you probably heard at the beginning of the show, we love talking partners. So we're just going to keep doing that. And we're just going to do a rundown of what we think are 10-ish of the neatest partners just simply available with Commander Legends. So let's get talking because we know that this has been around. We know people are talking about this. So let's do it ourselves. Here we go.
Okay.
Okay, Sean, the neatest partners. This was tough. It was excruciating.
How do you narrow it down?
Yeah, it's very difficult. There's a ton of really weird interactions and there's a ton of like very obvious ones. And we've got a nice mix of both here. They're all very neat though.
I want to make sure before we begin, whenever Commander's Brew does a list, though, it is definitive.
Oh, this is the definitive list of the neatest partners.
We're not suggesting that, like, we like these the most. These are, by definition, the neatest.
These are the neatest. Okay. Yes. Yeah, there's nothing else to be said about it. There's no debate. Okay.
Yep.
I don't know if you're familiar with any of our previous lists. That also decided that, for example, water is the best snack to have at Commander Night.
It is the best Commander snack.
Yeah.
It's colorless and it goes in everybody.
It goes in everybody. Exactly. You can't turn it down. It's the soul ring of snacks. Okay, so let's get into the neatest partnership. So let's start with the first one here. It's Armix, Filigritha. And by the way, this is a list. But this isn't in any order. It's not like it goes from least neat to most neat. These are just the 10 neatest. And again, if you think something else should be on here or shouldn't be on here, you're wrong. Okay, so we start with Armix Filigree Thrasher. It's the 2 and a black, 3/2, legendary golem. Whenever it attacks, you can discard a card. And then when you do, target creature defending player controls gets -X/-X until the end of turn, where X is the number of artifacts you control, plus the number of artifact cards in your graveyard. And then I think very like very obviously this partners extremely well with Tago, Goblin Weaponsmith, 2 and a red for the Legendary Goblin, 2/2 that whenever a land enters, you get to make an equipment named Rock, and then you can attach that rock for 1. It says the creature deals 2 damage to any target if you sacrifice rock, and it equips for 1. So your landfall triggers are basically building up the ability for you to just mow down your opponent's creatures when you swing in for attacks, and obviously with the discarding of cards. And I love this like Rakdos like equipment graveyard synergy that you can work, because the reason I think this is so neat is because we don't really have anything like that. Right? We don't have anything where it focuses on discard / graveyard stuff as well as equipment. That's like a weird meeting of synergies that we don't really see too often. And this kind of is the first commander setup that you can get that does that.
Neat. That is neat.
I think it's undeniably neat.
Here's another neat pair. Alharu, Solemn Ritualist. 4 and a white, legendary human monk. This is the 3/3 that when Alharu enters, you put a +1/+1 counter on each of up to 2 other target creatures. And then whenever a non-token creature you control with a +1/+1 counter on it dies, you create a 1/1 white spirit creature token with flying. So it gives you +1/+1 counters, and then when things die, you get spirits if they had counters on them. And then how about the partnership of them plus Slurk all ingesting, 5 and a green for the ooze. Starts with a 0/0, but enters with 5 +1/+1 counters. And whenever Slurk or another creature you control dies, same deal. If it had a +1/+1 counter, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature that already had one. Alharu throws around some counters. Slurk ensures that more counters keep putting on. This is a neat pair.
This is just a neat pair. I mean, you're gonna pump up your spirits. You're gonna make a bunch of more counters, you're going to make more spirits. Like, this is just the travel prep deck from Innistrad, but just it's a commander deck, right? It's amazing. Yeah. And especially with those dying triggers, that's going to be a big part of it, actually, is that type of Innistrad type flavor. Mm-hmm. So really cool. Next. So that's definitively the two of the neatest decks. Number 3 here, we're going to go right back to Alharu. So same thing, the +1/+1 counters and spirit stuff. And Numa, Jiraga Chieftain, 2 and a green for the 2/2 elf warrior. At the beginning of combat, you can pay XX. When you do, distribute X +1/+1 counters among any number of target elves. And of course, it has partner. So now we're distributing our +1/+1 counters amongst our elves. And we're using Alharu to turn those elves into spirits if they die. This is a killer go wide deck. Like, first of all, elves love to go wide. And if we can actually get a bunch of elves out, we're throwing some counters on them. That's a nightmare for your opponent to deal with. All of a sudden now they have to like decide, are they going to kill all these elves and then just have them jump up into the air? You know what I mean? It's crazy. It's wild. It's the neatest partnership. It's the third neatest partnership.
In no particular order.
In no particular order.
The fourth neatest pair in no particular order. Iktekic Salvage Splicer, 4 and a green, human artificer, 1/1. And when it enters the battlefield, you create a 3/3 golem artifact creature token, another splicer. And whenever an artifact is put into your graveyard from the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on Iktekic and on each golem you control. Okay, I'm listening. We want to pair this up with Livio, Oathsworn Sentinel. 1 and a white, legendary human knight, 2/2. 1 and a white to choose any creature. Its controller may exile it with an Aegis counter on it. And then 2 and a white and a tap, return all the cards with Aegis counters to the battlefield under their owner's control. So we got Iktekic making golems where artifacts that go to the graveyard, we're getting them big. But if anyone tries to do anything to Iktekic, or just if not, Livio can keep bouncing Iktekic and we can get more golems, more golems, more golems.
Yeah, this is the splicer. Like, this is the splicer commanders. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Look back at all the splicers from, you know, that, what was it? Like, Myrdan Besiege / New Phyrexia block, that block. Commander favorites, really fun cards. And these are the two commanders I'm picking to play my splicer deck, right?
Yeah.
These are a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. The next The next very neat partnership here is Falthus Shadowcat Familiar. 2 and a black for the 2/2 legendary Nightmare Cat. Commanders you control have Menace and Death Touch. Look, I love this little kitty. I love the scream that it's doing. I love the evil coming pouring out of its face in pink light form. And pair that up with, obviously, a ghost, another evil entity, the ghost of Ramirez DiPietro. 2 and a blue, 2/3, Spirit Pirate. It can't be blocked by creatures with toughness 3 or greater. Guess what? If we got Falthus, it really can't be blocked. Or you'll pay the price. And whenever Ramirez deals combat damage to a player, choose up to one target card in a graveyard that was discarded or put there from a library this turn. Put that card into its owner's hand. So hear me out on this. This is not simply a Voltron build. In fact, you don't have to go Voltron at all with this build. This is Reanimator. This is mill your opponents out. Let's get Ramirez hitting in there for you. So you mill, then you attack with the ghost of Ramirez DiPietro, who's got like Menace, Death Touch, can't be blocked, toughness 3 or greater. And then we're just pulling big creatures out of their yard. This is fun. And then you're also going to fill this deck with all those blue-black creatures that when they hit, we get to cast something from their library, or we get to cast another thing from their graveyard. Here's the commander for that deck. These are the two commanders because Falthus only does it for commanders, right? But the fact that we get to recast the ghost of Ramirez DiPietro over and over and over again is just perfect. It's so great. I love this deck. The neatest.
The neatest. Even though Ramirez does return the cards to their owner's hands.
Oh, wait.
So we can't do that to opponents. Still definitively neat.
Wait, hold on.
The last sentence.
Choose up to one target card in a graveyard that was discarded or put there from it. Put it in its owner's hand. I just assumed we got to put it on the battlefield. Guess what? Doesn't matter. Still the neatest.
Listen.
What is this card? Wait a second. Am I just reading this card? Like, what does this card do then?
I think it's meant for when you loot, you get your loots back.
But don't I hit? Oh, I get to do it in my own thing. Hey, guess what? This is still really good. We just got to mill ourselves to do it. That's all.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's true. It's
true. Take everything I said. It still applies. This is still the neatest partnership. Yeah. Except instead of milling our opponents, we're going to mill ourselves. Okay. There we go.
There we go. There we go.
There we go.
How about this pair? How about Dargo the Shipwrecker, 6 and a red, 7/5 giant pirate. As an additional cost, you're allowed to sacrifice creatures and artifacts, and Dargo costs 2 less for each permanent sacrifice this way, and 2 less for each other artifact or creature you've sacrificed this turn, even if you sacrificed it for another reason. So he's his own sac outlet, takes advantage of sacrificing. 7/5 trample, often able to be cast for just a red. Partner this one up with a Jeska Thrice Reborn. 2 and a red, legendary planeswalker Jeska. Enters with a loyalty for each time you've cast a commander. Guess what? We're going to cast Dargo so many times. So Jeska will start to get more and more loyalty. As long as she'll always have the one, because you've presumably cast her and she counts as the one. You get to pay 0. To choose target creature until your next turn. If that creature would deal combat damage to one of your opponents, it deals triple that damage. Dargo's a 7/5. Triple 7/5 is a one-hit kill if there's no one to block it. Like, that's... Like,
yeah.
If they can't block it, they die. They take 21 damage from one of your commanders.
You know how Jeska turns into Phage? Like, or that's... And then back into Jeska, I guess. But
she, I didn't know that.
She is Phage, right?
Okay.
I think that's right. Anyways, and this is you creating Phage, kind of, because Dargo is a one-hit kill with Jeska's abilities, and Phage kills when you hit
with it, right?
So, yeah. I mean, we just created our own Phage. By the way, with that whole with Ramirez and the cat, I knew I was going to do that. I, in fact, was looking at these cards over. I was looking them over again. I'm like, which one of these am I wrong about? I knew it was going to happen, but guess what? It doesn't matter. It's definitively the neatest. And I love mono red one hit kill deck.
Oh my gosh, it's great. This looks really fun. This is a fun pair.
Next we have Kamal, Heart of Krosa. He's the big boy, 6 green for the 5/5. He's got overrun at the beginning of your combat on your turn. You just get to just do overrun. And then for 1 and a green, until end of turn, target land you control becomes a 1/1 elemental creature with vigilance, indestructible, and haste. It's still a land. Partner this guy up. We're talking about mono colors. No, sorry, not yet. Nadir, Agent of the Duskanel, 5 and a black. This is a high CMC combo, but trust me, it's very neat. He's a 3/3. Whenever a token you control leaves the battlefield, put a +++ counter on him. And when he leaves the battlefield, create a number of 1/1 green elf warrior creature tokens equal to its power. That's right. So green, black, what are we good at? Saprolings. Saproling tokens. Have those tokens overrun. Huh? Great. Or guess what? Have them all die. Make Nadir giant. Guess what? Nadir dies. Who cares? He makes a bunch of elf creatures. Like, this partnership is a never-ending ball of tokens that constantly gets overrun.
Yeah.
It's over. If,
yeah.
You know, we just got to ramp up there. But it's very neat.
How about another pair? Let's do another mono green here.
Yeah, mono. Or, mono green. This is the mono.
Kodama of the East Tree. 4 green greed. Legendary spirit with reach 6/6. Whenever a permanent enters the battlefield under your control, except for Kodama, if it wasn't put there with this ability, you get to put another permanent from your hand with equal or lesser CMC. So if you put a land out, you get to put a free 0 CMC. How about another land? If you put out a 4-drop creature, you get to put anything 4 or less. Just put it out. Pretty good. Let's pair Kodama with Halana, Kissing Ranger, 3 and a green. Legendary human archer, 3/4 with reach. Whenever another creature enters your battlefield under control, you may pay 2. When you do, that creature deals damage equal to its power to target creature. And then Kodama lets us put another creature out. Halana allows us to pay 2 and do it all over again.
Bang, 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 bang. Just mowing down creatures and then attacking with your giant green monsters. Very fun. I couldn't decide whether or not to pair to if the neater pair was Kodama and Halana or Kodama and Alharu. Because Alharu has some very cool interactions too, where we not Alharu, sorry, Livio, the one who blinks, the white guy who blinks.
Yes.
That's a very cool interaction there too. But
either way. We also could consider Lahala or Hararu or Lahuna and Laha, like it's starting to sound like just noises.
Yeah, they fully are.
Halana or Alharu and Kodama. Good luck closed captioning.
Halana, Kamal. Okay. Let's move on to the next one here. This one is I think this one is one of the more obvious pairings, but one of the very good ones. Keskit, the flesh sculptor. 2 and a black for the 1/3. Human artificer. Tap, sacrifice 3 other artifacts and or creatures. Look at the top 3 cards of your library. Put them into your hand and the other into your graveyard. Pair that up with Glacian, Power Stone Engineer. 5 and a blue for the 3/6. Tap X untapped artifacts you control. Look at the top X cards of your library. Put one of those cards into your hand and the rest into your graveyard. These guys are not even, it's not even so much their synergy when they're on the battlefield together. It's just that you have 2 excellent sources of card advantage based on an artifact deck, based on a Dimir artifact deck. They also work together well, but it's really like, okay, you took care of my, you know, oh, you got Keskit out of the way, like kind of early in the game. Well, now I've got mana to cast him again. Oh, you did it again. Okay, now I got Glacian who does this kind of other thing. Either way, we're both working with artifacts and the graveyard, and we're just getting crazy card advantage. I think these guys are really powerful together.
Neat. How about this pair? How about Breach's Brazen Plunderer? This is the Goblin Pirate, 3 and a red for a 3/3 with menace. And whenever one or more pirates you control deal damage to your opponents, exile the top card of each of those opponents' libraries. You may play those cards this turn, and you may spend mana as though it were mana of any color. It lets us play the spells off the top of our opponents' decks. We have to pay for them, but it doesn't matter what color they are. And then we're going to pair that up with Malcolm, Keen-Eyed Navigator, 2 and a blue for a Siren Pirate, 2/2 with flying. Whenever one or more pirates you control deals damage to opponents, you create a treasure token for each opponent dealt damage. Well, what a great way to be able to cast those cards that we just exiled to get a ton of treasures for them. What a dream team.
That's right. And I know when we did the set review, I was a little bit harsh on the pirate partners because I was like, are any of these better than just running Admiral Beckett Brass? And if you're looking at it pure from a color standpoint, you could say no for sure. But the more I looked at these two partners, I'm like, I think these guys give Beckett Brass a run for her money. Like the evasion, the ability, the fact that we're basically ramping with Malcolm, And like you said, the card advantage comes from breaches. That's a powerful combination. These guys work really well together. Turn three, turn four. I mean, you lay something, you know, we get haste in this deck. This is great. This is a lot of fun. And you can even have some potential artifact synergies in this deck as well, because we're making a lot of treasures and stuff. So that was a very fun one. And then we have one honorable mention. So technically it's the 11 Nidus, but we've already talked about Nadir. It's the +1/+1 counters on Nadir. And then when he leaves the battlefield, you put elves. I mean, I think it's just, we just have to use Kelleth Sunmane Familiar. The horse commander must be used. It wouldn't be the neatest list without the neatest horse commander. The one in a white 1/1 horse that says whenever a commander you control attacks, you put a +1/+1 counter on it. Simple. Simple.
Neat.
Sometimes the simplest things are the neatest things.
Yes.
So there you have it.
Honorable neatest, definitively.
Yeah, honorable and neatest. It's an honorable horse that's either making a weird face in this picture, or I'm just seeing that wrong. Because it looks kind of looks like to me that the horse is doing this.
Yeah. Well, you know what I see in there? I hear you. I agree. I also see the way the nose is.
Yeah.
The nose lines up parallel with its ear. And the way the little mouth guard thing comes down makes that part look like a cat mouth. So it kind of looks like a cat that's facing forward with a long neck. I see a cat face looking at you just being like.
Yeah, I can kind of see that. Either way, this is great. This is one of the coolest, neatest partnerships. Definitely. I mean, we would have been remiss if we didn't mention Kelleth.
Remiss.
There it is. There you have it. You know, start your internet debates if you want, but it's been decided. Do you know what I mean? It's over. There's no debate anymore. These are the neatest partnerships, and get with the program here.
Please.
Simple as that. Okay. Well, what do you say? We move on and start talking about the new deck.
I'm ready.
All right, Sean. So this week we're brewing with Commander Legends. It was tough to pick. There's so many, like we were talking about, there are literally thousands of possibilities here, right? There's like over 1,000 possibilities with the partners and everything. But what we decided on is one, as I mentioned in the set review, is one of my most favorite commanders from the set, and the one I was sort of the most excited to deal to brew with. It's Arami of the Dead Tide. I'll just go ahead and read Arami before we get too deep into this. Arami is the 1/blue/black legendary merfolk wizard, 1/4. She has tap, exile cards from your graveyard equal to the number of opponents you have. Target creature card in your graveyard gains encore until end of turn. The encore cost is equal to its mana cost. And just a little rules text here about what encore is, a new mechanic from the set. Exile the creature card and pay its mana cost. For each opponent, create a token copy that attacks that opponent this turn if able. They gain haste. Sacrifice them at the beginning of the next end step. Activate it only as a sorcery. So, I mean, this is like Unearth, but Unearth meets Blade of Selves, kind of. So we're going to get not only the, we can do it on anything, and we're getting the ETB effects, but it's also sacrifice, it's not exile. So we're also going to get dies triggers, all kinds of madness, as you'll see. So there's a lot of possibilities. You can go in a number of different ways with this deck. And as you'll see, we found a really fun and interesting way to do this. So, you know, we met up in the Discord and we brought up the commander, and then our boy Mattisman. Matt had a great idea. He said, hear me out. He said, Dimir allies. And it's been a long time since we brewed with allies or at all. And so I was like, you know what? Let's give it a shot. Let's try it out. So then we started brewing, and lo and behold, it makes a fun deck. And the great thing about it is it's not so focused in on allies that we have to have allies for this to work. I mean, there's enough Dimir allies that it's not hard to get them or anything, but there's just a number of just great cards and great allies that work with these cards and everything. So it's some great synergy here that's really good. So we've brewed a really fun deck here. I can't wait to get into it.
That makes a lot of sense. Like, allies are the tribe that a lot of things... Blade of Selves, we're all imagining... Gary, that's what we just want to do with Blade of Selves, because yeah, we want to get more things. But allies just want to see more allies. So, like... You don't have to there's no like, this is my encore target. The whole deck wants to make this my encore target. It's like, no, man, we'll encore whatever we need to. It'll all work.
And the great thing about the allies is even if you have none other ones out and you just want to encore one, they're great to just encore even on their own.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I love it. Because those allied triggers are going to see everything. It's going to be great. So let's start it off here. Let's set up the scene. Let's talk about the types of cards we're going to need to get us to where we want to be. And I think that in this deck, we're talking about getting our graveyard full, because we can't do any of this stuff unless we're exiling cards from our graveyard equal to the number of opponents we have. So for every time we want to encore something, we're going to have to exile, I'm assuming it's a game of four, we're going to have to be exiling three things, right? So Sean, just read the first three here. This is going to take us through.
I love these cards. Dreamborn Muse, 2BB, Spirit, 2/2. At the beginning of each player's upkeep, that player puts the top X cards of their library into the graveyard, where X is the number of cards in their hand. Your graveyard gets full. Everybody's does. Halimar Excavator. Here's an ally. 1BB. Human Wizard ally. 1/3. Whenever Halimar Excavator or another ally enters the battlefield under your control, target player puts the top X cards, where X is the number of allies you control. So we're going to pick ourselves. Mm-hmm. And... one Halimar, one card into the graveyard. If we encore them, each one sees the three. So that's nine cards in our graveyard.
That's right.
That's provided we have no other allies. Right. This thing gets big.
Exactly.
This is also notoriously the one that if you Rite of Replication, you can mill someone out with that activation just once.
It gets pretty wild.
I'm sorry if I stole a neat move.
No, you didn't. You didn't. Don't worry.
Okay. And of course, the Lord of Mill, Phoenix, God of Deception, 3BB, Legendary Enchantment Creature God, 4/7 and Indestructible. We know how the devotion thing is. You got to have enough blue or black pips for this to be a creature, in this case, 7. And creatures you control have tap. Target player puts the top X cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard, into their graveyard, where X is this creature's toughness. It's big butt creatures help you mill.
It's just simply one of the best mill cards. It's just so difficult to get rid of. And, you know, all you need is creatures, basically, which is not obviously hard to come by.
Well, I also love the interaction between Phoenix and Encore, because the creatures don't have to attack. I can Encore my creatures and then just use the ability that Phoenix grants them, have them mill some more, and then they just get sacrificed. So, you know, like a Halimar Excavator doesn't need to attack.
I mean, technically, it must attack, but if you can tap it before it has the chance to, yes.
Yes, when I say need, I mean for our strategy. Yes. Our strategy does not need Halimar Excavator to attack.
Absolutely not. Yes, exactly. And that's one of the great things about Phoenix, what it allows you to do. I want to just look back at Dreamborn Muse just for a second, because this is you turned me onto this card. I think it was even before we started this podcast. I think you had this in a deck or something. Or maybe you told me it would be good in a deck or something like that. But this card is really great because this is Commander. For the most part, we're going to have, even if it only has like 3-4 cards in your hand, this card's good. If everyone has 7 cards in their hand, like as a lot of Commander games, this card's incredible. Because we want to mill ourselves, obviously, right? We want to get that. We want to get stuff in our graveyard so that we can encore it. We want to be able to exile all those cards. But because we're in Dimir, we naturally have a lot of stuff that wants to reanimate. So actually milling our opponents is a great thing also. So and actually, like you said, with Halimar Excavator, and if we get enough ally triggers, we can actually mill someone out with Halimar Excavator. So starting the train rolling with Dreamborn Muse, getting that like incidental mill of our opponents is actually a good thing. So yeah, these three work together. So that's our scene. That's what we want to be doing. We've got to have some full graveyard. So we got to make sure we took care of that, right? Next is what we always talk about, the vegetables. These are the boring parts that you got to include to make your deck run. But in this deck, it's a little different. So first things first, Swiftfoot Boots. Everyone's got to have Swiftfoot Boots. But for us, really importantly, our commander has a tap ability. So it's very, very important that we can protect her and give her haste, okay? Very, very important. when we're talking about the other types of vegetables, your card draw, your ramp, and all that kind of stuff, well, we got some unique things. Pitiless Plunderer, because of when we encore something, those creatures die. So they don't get, you know, they don't get exiled or something. So Pitiless Plunderer is going to trigger off those. It's the 3 and a black for the 1/4. Whenever another creature you control dies, create a colorless treasure artifact token with tap, sacrifice this artifact, blah, blah, blah. You gain money. You know how it is. You gain mana. That means everything we encore turns into a treasure, which is really, really good. If we encore this and then things die, they turn into many treasures, right? This is, we're talking about like casting your whole hand out after you've maybe on, if you have to encore a Pitiless Plunderer. Black Market is a similar thing. 3 black for the enchantment. Whenever a creature dies, I mean, we all know how crazy this card is. You put a charge counter on it, and then at the beginning of your pre-combat main phase, you add black for each charge counter on Black Market. This is obviously a classic Commander staple, but in this deck, it goes absolutely nuts with Encore, and obviously just let this sit on your table. Let it for one go around, and I guarantee it's got a few counters on when it comes back.
Yeah.
That's the style that our ramp is taking on. Our card draw is taking on a little different style. Sean, why don't you take these two?
Sure. We've got Youthful Scholar. Look at that youthful pose.
I love it. So youthful.
So relaxed. 3 and a blue for a wizard, 2/2. And when Youthful Scholar dies, you draw 2 cards. I don't need to remind you, encored creatures do die. So if you encore Youthful Scholar in our default imaginary 4-player game, you're getting 6 cards back. Two off of each one. How about Palace Familiar? 1 and a blue for half the effect. 1/1 flying. When Palace Familiar dies, draw a card. Same diff,
same deal. This is a great way to do it. When the initial creature we cast out dies because it blocked or something, we get a card. And then when we encore it for only 2 mana, which is great, we get to draw 3 cards.
I think it's so neat. Like Palace Familiars, it's 2 mana for a 1/1 with flying, which means it can basically block anything. Mm-hmm. And we love, like, your opponents have to think twice attacking you if you have a Palace Familiar, because it would be very easy for me to be like, well, you can't stop me. Like, you have to chump your Palace Familiar. But we don't want, like, you don't want this deck to chump the Palace Familiar. Like this, you don't want to put cards like this in their graveyard. So it really throws a wrench into opposing teams' combat.
Yeah, definitely. And I remember when Youthful Scholar came out, I was like, there's commander decks where this is going to be so good. Dying and drawing 2 cards, it's great, right? So this is definitely that deck that I've been waiting for this many years.
Yeah.
Okay, so now that we've taken a look at the vegetables, we've taken a look at, you know, setting the scene, you know, we got all this stuff going on, I think it's about time that we thought about the neat moves.
Working on a neat move.
All right. First up, this is one that Matt had kind of in mind, I think, when he suggested it. When we were brewing this deck, it seemed like Matt had kind of been thinking about this for a long time. So he had a lot of great suggestions. So this is a great one. It's Arami, obviously our commander. A lot of this stuff is very synergistic with our commander. It's actually very, very important that we keep our commander around in this deck. Mix Arami with Sundial of the Infinite. So this is a well-known card. 2 mana for the artifact. Pay 1, tap it, end the turn. And you can only do it during your turn. Well, that's fine. We only want to do it during our turn, because if we end our turn before Arami's sacrifice them trigger happens, or while it's on the stack, we just end that turn. We don't have to sacrifice those creatures we make. So all of a sudden, we just paid 2 mana and got 3 creatures, or we paid 4 mana and got 3 creatures with these great abilities. So that becomes a real problem for your opponents, because all of a sudden now every creature in our deck is 3 creatures and we get to keep them. Forget about just the awesome ETB abilities or dice triggers. So that's really good. Really strong.
Here's a neat move. Ambuscade Shaman. When's the last time you thought about this card?
Yeah.
2 and a black for a 2/2 orc shaman. It has dash for 3 and a black. Dash means you're able to cast it for its dash cost, and it has haste, but then you put it back in your hand at the next end step. we're allowed to halt that with Sundial of the Infinite, but it's more expensive to cast it with more Dash. Expensive. So we would never, that doesn't make sense.
We're not up for that.
Anyway, here's why he's in the deck. Whenever Ambuscade Shaman or another creature enters the battlefield under your control, that creature gets +2/+2 until end of turn. It doesn't give them haste. It seems like that goblin, that red one.
Yeah.
That gives them haste. But Encore gives them haste. Everyone who gets Encored comes back as a +2/+2.
Yeah, the awesome thing about... So Ambuscade Shaman is like a... kind of like an anthem, a 2/2 anthem for anything you're Encoring that turn. He himself also gets it, which is where the dash, which is why the dash costs is more. You basically get a 4/4 haste, you know, if you want to do that, which you don't really want to. But the great thing is that even if you Encore him, you'll get three Ambuscade Shaman. They all will 2/2 each other and get a really crazy bonus going. And then if you have anything else that comes in after that, right? You can really get rolling on this. So Ambuscade Shaman, really good card in this deck. And this is one where I looked at it and I'm like, what is this card? Like, what does it do? Is this going to be good enough to stay in? And yes, I think it is. I think you can get some really bonkers turns with this guy. Very, nice. Very cool. I think it goes without saying that Panharmonicon is an incredible card in this deck. Anything where we're talking about allies and triggers and all that, and ETB triggers, I should say. Obviously we're going to want to have Panharmonicon included. If an artifact or creature entering the battlefield causes an ability or permanent you control to trigger, it happens an extra time. Again, this is how you might win with Halimar Excavator, because we don't have Rite of Replication, but if we can just Panharmonicon all the enters the battlefield triggers, that might be enough, right? Depending on how many other allies we have, right? So Panharmonicon just gets out of control with a lot of the stuff in this deck. Not the dice triggers, very notably, but the ETB triggers, definitely.
Yeah, here's another neat move. So we've got Arami. We think about doing a board wipe where we, you know, kill the whole board. And then we do Doomwake Giant.
Oh, no, this is the board wipe.
Doomwake Giant is the board wipe. Oh, because
I wrote that. I might have wrote that the wrong way, but I meant to write that. This is the board wipe.
This is the board wipe through Encore.
Yeah.
4 and a black, giant, 4/6. Constellation. When Doomwake Giant or another enchantment enters the battlefield under your control, creatures your opponents control get -1/-1. It's one-sided. It does everyone but yours. So each Doomwake Giant saw three enchantments come in, themselves plus two others, the other two Doomwake Giants. So each Doomwake Giant gives your opponents -3/-3. That's -9 total. On only your opponents for 5 mana. Pretty good.
Pretty sweet, right?
You
tap Arami, get Doomwake Giant back to the graveyard, or 3 of them, I suppose. And then you also, not only have you killed everything on their board, you got 3 4/6s that get to attack as well, right?
If there's an Ambuscade Shaman out, they're actually 6/8s.
Yeah, it gets pretty wild. So this is another one where I looked at it and I was like, there's not very many enchantments in this deck. Why are we running Doomwake Giants? Like, oh, I see why. This is fantastic. Yeah.
I'm starting to see how this comes together, because we're milling ourselves. A Doomwake Giant just pops in there. It's quite likely our opponents won't think of it all the way through. Like these cards look innocuous in the graveyard by themselves until you Encore them. You're like, oh, no, this is bad.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you want to get in on... So I talked about why Dreamborn Muse is really good, because we're milling our opponents. Well, one of the cards that's going to pay that off... Oh, wait, no, this is ours. Sorry. There's another one later. This one is still helping us with our graveyard. So it's Underworld Sentinel. This is really cool. 3 black for a 4/5. Whenever Underworld Sentinel attacks, you exile target creature from your graveyard. And when it dies, you put all the cards exiled with it onto the battlefield. So you've got some pretty nice value here just from casting this creature, just from a 5-mana 4/5 that when it swings, you get to take something from your graveyard, exile it under it. And then if someone blocks it and kills this thing, whatever we just got is going to come out. So that's actually going to be just very useful on its own. Forget about the Encore, which is we pay 5, we get 3 of these guys. They all attack. They all get something. And then they all definitely die at the end. And then we get all those creatures back. So that could be multiple. Like, this is helping our allies, because now all of those guys are coming in as well as the Underworld. It's wild. So we have a lot of synergies that work really well with Underworld Sentinel here. You just get three things back on the back proper on the battlefield.
So imagine you have six mana. So you use Arami to exile three cards from your graveyard, and you spend six mana because in your graveyard is a Thought Render Lamia. Oof. Four black, Lamia, 5/3 with Constellation. Similar to Doomic Giant, whenever Thought Render Lamia or another enchantment enters, each opponent discards a card. Each of the three Thought Renders will see the other two, so each one is responsible for three. That's nine. Each of your opponents have to discard nine cards. That's their whole hand.
Oh, wow. Exactly. You just wreck your opponent's hands with this.
Six mana, all your opponents discard all their cards. Very nice.
It's mean. It's rough. And the thing is like, if you had a whole... I don't love it when discard decks kind of build around this thing where it's like it's keeping everyone top decking. Like, that's just... That creates a really slow game. That creates, like... It's just... It's not super fun to play against that style of thing. It's an effective brew, and if you're in, like, a really competitive meta, it's cool, but... We're all trying to have fun. We don't have no cards. It's bad. That's why. But I don't mind including an effect like this kind of as like a one of, is basically what this is, right? Thought Render Lamia is the only card we have in here that does it, that does something like this on this scale. I think we have one other like discard card in here that it's like, it's just because it's one of the only black allies. Yes, but this one has a massive effect. But you know, like we said, it's you exile this. Once you do this, it's done. So make sure you hit them at a good spot. But Thought Render Lamia can actually really give you, like, it gives you a lot of space if you can do that. It gives you a lot of space to win the game, because once your opponents are top decking, it's very tough for them. What is next? Oh, okay. So a very important kind of neat move we have in here is that we have a bunch of clone effects in here. I'm just gonna read through a couple of them, because there's some neat different ones here. Cemetery Puka is very interesting. It's a 1/2 hybrid Dimir, so 3 total for a 1/2. It's a shapeshifter. It says whenever a creature is put into a graveyard from play, you can pay 1, and if you do, Cemetery Puka becomes a copy of that creature and gains this ability. So the reason I really like this as a clone for this deck is that obviously we have a lot of things going to the graveyard a bunch. We have some Sack Atlas and things like that as well. So Cemetery Puka is going to allow us to like hang on / kind of permanently, in air quotes, get back maybe one of our very important allies or something like, I was going to say Doomwake Giant, but that's not what I was thinking of. Something where we're like, we want to keep this type of ally on the board. We want to keep our recursion guy on the board. Cemetery Puka can just become that creature, even if it's your opponent that's killing it, right? Can turn into your commander, which is very important, right? So that's really cool. I like this ability in this deck, and this is definitely a card that I've seen a bunch of times and just been like, if I want a clone, I want it to be able to enter the battlefield as the thing.
You know what?
But this is one where it's kind of the other way around.
This is a Shadowmoor rare, yeah, which was a very old set. It was very, the Shadowmoor cards can be very expensive, mm-hmm, because very few of them were reprinted. This is less than $2. And I suspect that people have not realized that this card got a million times better with the new commander death change. Like, your commanders never used to go to the graveyard before, but now they visit the graveyard briefly and then go to the command zone. So Cemetery Puka is a backup commander in any Dimir deck, and I suspect people have not bought them accordingly because it's less than $2.
Sean, are we gonna spike Cemetery Puka right now? Is that what's happening?
I think we might.
Are we gonna spike Cemetery Puka, a card that I have often basically laughed at for how bad I think it is?
Right, but it's different. But you're right. Now.
Absolutely, it is different now. Like, just saying that right, just saying that out loud, where I was like, it can also be our commander, which I just thought about. But like, hey, you're right.
But right,
it has to be a Dimir deck. So it's not one of these like catch all, you know, goes in every single deck or anything.
No.
But like, but think like, about like Sultai decks. This is an incredible card for that. Sure. Right?
Right. I mean, Muldrotha, you'd love to have. I mean, in this case, you could even let the real Muldrotha die. Cemetery Puka becomes a new one, which lets you recast the original one from the graveyard. And then Cemetery Puka goes down. And then Cemetery Puka, you get to recast Cemetery Puka with the now your OG Muldrotha and just have it waiting there in case anything happens to the original Muldrotha.
Please stop, 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 stop. We don't need to be helping Muldrotha players, okay?
It's true.
We do not it's need true. To be helping the people we playing
don't.
Muldrotha.
We don't.
We don't need to be telling them ways to keep Muldrotha on the battlefield.
Yeah, I know.
Amazing. Okay, well, I mean, there you go. Officially spiked. Look out, investors, because Cemetery Puka is now $100. But you're right. Shadowmoor cards go up really easily because of that, because there's a very low supply.
Yeah, it doesn't take much for them to spike.
No, it doesn't. And two of the other, I mean, this is really the main clone that I think is like different than what we're all kind of thinking. But we also have Cackling Counterpart, which is one blue-blue for the instant. That creates a copy of something you control. Also, it has flashback, which is why it's notable for this deck, because we can mill it, get it in there, and then we can flash it back later in the game, mind you. It's five blue-blue, it's seven, but it's always nice to have that option. And then we also have Glasspool Mimic, the new Flipland, MDFC, whatever you want to call it.
Moo diff.
Yeah, so this is like an auto-include, basically. It's a land on the backside, and it's a three-mana clone for our own creatures on the other side. So, yeah. Goes without saying. This is great. Auto include.
Let's talk about some dies triggers, because obviously things are going to be dying a ton every time we encore something. Can I just remind everyone, the encore cost is just the cost of the creature.
Yeah.
Right? There's a lot of fantastic two drops that were like, great, two mana? Sure, I'll take it.
Yes.
If you just want death triggers, we can get them real cheap. Zulaport Cutthroat, one and a black. It's an ally, a human rogue ally, 1/1. Whenever Zulaport Cutthroat or another creature dies, each opponent loses one and you gain one. Full table drain, you gain one. Well, but you don't gain the full amount.
No, it's not. Yeah, it doesn't work like Extort.
Yes,
it's like
the fixed
version of Extort, kind of.
Nadir's Nightblade, 2 and a black, Elf Warrior, 1/3. Whenever a token you control leaves the battlefield, each opponent loses a life and you gain a life. Guess what? Encored creatures are tokens.
That's right.
And then, of course, Ashnod's Altar is a fantastic way. This is one of the best sack outlets the game has. 3 generic for an artifact, sack a creature, add 2 colorless to your mana pool. Well, if anything, we've got everything we wanted out of these Encored creatures. We can sack them to Ashnod's Altar for 6 mana before that happens and keep the party rolling. You have to tap Arami to get more Encores, but I mean, I'm happy to just put another Wicked Threat on the board after I've Encored.
That's right.
That's a fun move.
Yeah, and Ashnod's Altar is a card I think most of us know about at this point, but it is good to talk about it once in a while. Like, I feel like we haven't featured this card on the show for a very long time. I mean, it has gone up in price, and that might be why, but it's still undeniably, you know, probably the best sack outlet in Commander, right? It's really...
It's got to be up there.
It's wild. And the fact that we
have... the number one combo enabler in the game.
Yeah, yeah. And we're not working any degenerate combos here. We're just getting some nice value from our creatures. And sack outlets are just always good to have. We know that.
Yeah.
Again, not complaining about anything. Not really complaining about Commander's Legends. But, maybe next time let's see a reprint of Ashnod's Altar, right? Yeah, that's all. Okay, great. Finally, in the neat moves is just one card, and I forgot that this card existed, but it is absolutely wild in this deck. Sower of Discord, 4 black for a 6/6 Deben with flying. As Sower of Discord enters the battlefield, you choose 2 players. Whenever damage is dealt to one of the chosen players, the other chosen player also loses that much life. So this is just a cool card because it makes 2 people fight, or if someone wants to attack you, they're going to lose life because you can pick yourself and them. Whatever it is, whatever the board kind of feels like it makes sense at the time. But also, unless you get 3 of these, things can get wild with 3 of these. You can make it so that like everyone is on one guy. So now if anyone attacks anyone, the person in the lead also loses that life. So that way that guy, just no matter who he attacks or she attacks, they are hurting themselves with any kind of attacks. This is not just combat damage, by the way. This is damage, period. Whenever damage is dealt. We can have it like be a big chain across where if I attack you, if I hit you, you lose life. And if that person, it doesn't chain like that because it's damage and then it's loss of life. But it's about the decisions, right? It's like, okay, if I attack Sean, Alistair's going to lose life. If I attack Alistair, you know, Mike's going to lose life and so on. So,
yeah,
it was just fun to like think about the differences that we could have with this card and the attack that when you encore Sower of Discord, you've got 3/6/6 flying demons, right? Like it's not like you're going to hit someone and it's going to be bad. So I think it creates very interesting, very fun turns there.
Well, and then you get to also like you get 3 links when you encore this guy. So it's like, okay, well, Sword of Discord only has 1 clear attack against player B. Mm-hmm. So I'll encore them and I'll say when player B takes damage, player C also takes damage. And then 3 more times. So when player B takes the 6, player C takes 18. Because there's...
That's right.
or you could spread it out if you're not mean.
Yeah, whatever makes sense, right? So I just want to... I just want to look at Arami just for a second because I want to see... Here she is. Okay, so I'm just looking at the, what's it called? Encore. I just wanted to see, does each Encore creature have to attack a different opponent?
Yes, each one has to attack a different opponent. But Sower of Discord lets us link any 2 players.
Yes, exactly. So,
like, we can link the same 2 players 3 times.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, this is kind of your way of getting around the fact that all of these creatures can't just attack the same person. In this way, they kind of can. You know, it's kind of like it's pretty wild. So, yeah, that's just a neat move with Arami, obviously, with the Encore. So, well, there you have it. I mean, that's the meat, potatoes, the vegetables, everything of that deck, and it is a fun one. We're talking about attacking. We're talking about getting all kinds of crazy Encore triggers. I love Encore. I think it's a very fun new commander mechanic. Very, very into it. Discord helpers. I mentioned Matt as Men. He had, like I said, Matt had a lot of ideas going into this. I think it's a deck he's been thinking about since he saw this commander. So it was really nice to like link up with him and put all of our heads together. But also we had Dylan PH in there, Chiefy, Twin Slug, Nerdsflow, Nosrak. It was a quick brew. This deck came together really fast, so we actually didn't have a ton of time in the Discord for all like the normal amount of people to jump in, because we kind of reached a point where we're like, this is looking fun, you know, so this is already kind of done. So yeah, it was great though, and I'm very happy with this, and I hope those guys are happy with it too, because it was in a bit of a different state when we left. We've talked about the Discord helpers, we've given our shouts out to them. And I do believe that means it's time for the budget report. Happy to report that this one comes in under $100.
Nice.
We had it around $80 to $95. There's also some... TCG says it's like mid... the market is $120, but actually I think... As always, there's like one card that it thinks is like $30 and it's not. Judging on it for myself, it looks like just under $100. Some notable things. I did not know this until doing the budget report today, but Pitiless Plunderer, the uncommon 4-mana 1/4 that makes the treasures when things die, is $5. This card... And we know why this is. This is a big commander card because it's a very big combo enabler. A lot of infinite combos work with this. I don't know if it's getting played in any kind of other formats or anything, but I just know that probably just off commander alone, that's what's happening. So if you got these in your bulk box or you got them in your uncommon and common box, pull them out, get them in the sleeve, get them in the binder, whatever it is, because these cards are, they're up there now. What's this next one here? Oh yeah, this one isn't surprising.
Black Market. Yeah. Black Market's been an expensive enchantment for a while, but like I said, because it like Pitiless Plunder, it cheats on mana. There aren't infinity ways to do that, and commander players love to do that. So these cards are in high demand.
This is
almost $5.
Yeah, I think I remember when we first started playing the Magic that this card was actually way more expensive, and they gave us a few reprints that have kind of brought it down under $5, which I think is still, yeah, like, this is a card that's worth $5, I think. This is worth putting in a deck and spending that money on. Bit of a staple binder include as well. Finally, there it is. Phoenix got a deception. We talked about it already. One of the best mill enablers. They don't reprint the gods too often. This is a $9 card at this point. And, I mean, I think it is worth it in, like, a staple way. If you're going to be, if you want a good mill deck, you want a good reanimator deck, Phoenix is a great include. So maybe try and snatch it while it's under $10, because we just saw a reprint of, not a reprint, sorry, like a return to Theros, and we didn't get this card again. And those are kind of the only times when they do that. Like, you might get this in a commander deck or something, but I feel like for a while, at least, this is going to be the price of Phoenix.
Yeah, it's the best mill commander, so as long as there's mill decks, Phoenix will be in demand.
Even though it's the best mill thing in the deck, I actually think it's kind of, you can kind of cut it, because there's a lot of mill enablers. They're obviously not going to be as good as this, but for $9, you might be able to find, you know, for half that, you might be able to find something that's almost as good. And of course, Sean, if we didn't have a budget limit, what's one card you might include in this deck?
I'd happily drop $8 on a Grave Titan.
Why not?
4BB, 6/6 Giant with Death Touch. When Grave Titan enters or attacks, you get 2/2 zombies. This is 10 power and toughness for 6 mana. 6 of it is Death Touch. So obviously that's why it's just so good. And just imagine encoring this, right? If you encore a Grave Titan...
How many zombies do you get?
So you get the 3 Grave Titans, and each one brings 2 zombies on enter and 2 on attack. So that's 12. You get 12 zombies off of 1 Grave Titan encore.
So for,
that's
pretty good. For 6 mana, you get 3, albeit temporary, 6/6 Death Touch creatures. That's 18 power toughness. And then you get 12 tutus, another 24 power toughness. Honestly, this card's what, $8? Like, maybe cut Phoenix and put this in. I mean, obviously it's more important to enable our graveyard. If we don't have it in the graveyard, we can't do
anything
with it.
There's other ways to do that.
But there's any other ways to do that. I think that might be a big move, actually. I actually thought Grave Titan was more than that. That's why I put it in the no budget limit.
Yeah.
Great card, though. Great card. All right. Well, budget report's over. We've talked about our expensive cards.
Time to dress up.
Right. I mean, is there any special event that we might think about,
Andy,
at this point? I mean, I personally was actually just going to go.
No, I've Andy, got an it's important... the Audrex tonight.
It's tonight is the...
It's right now. The Audrex are... We're hosting. We're giving out an award.
We're hosting?
Yeah, it's okay. I've got a limo waiting out front, and our tuxedos are in the back seat.
All right, well, let's make our way over to the Audrex. Oh, wow, wonderful. We have our tuxes on. We are here at the wonderful Avison Theater in beautiful downtown Innistrad. And I can see the tentacles of the Eldrazi coming through. I can see the mangled corpses of dead angels in the ceiling. And we're just having a wonderful time here giving away these awards.
We are here to celebrate and honor the most accomplished achievements in Magic cards. And it is great to see all of you supporting us. Shieldred, good to see you. Welcome. You're looking great. Glad to see you.
Mizzix is here, casting numerous spells, sitting right next to Chris Pratt. Good to see you there. The worst Chris. How are you?
The worst Chris. Sorry to call you out.
Sorry.
From the podium of the Audrex.
We all knew it. We were all thinking it. It doesn't matter which excellent commander you've decided to pair yourself up with.
Chris. Now it's time to get to the awards.
That's right. Today's Audrex Award goes to a pillar of the Magic card community. The award is the Darth Maul's Twin Award, and it goes to Nimona Sellsword. Thank you very much. Nimona Sellsword, the Darth Maul Twin Award. Looks like maybe this was a young Darth Maul before the tattoos, perhaps. Young Knight Brother, if you're familiar with the Star Wars Clone Wars era. But this is him, no doubt. He just took those two blades and smashed them together and turned them into light. Thank you, Nimona Sellsword.
Unfortunately, Nimona Sellsword couldn't be here to accept the award. So they have passed on some thank you notes to you, Andy. Would you please read them now?
Okay, this, Nimona. Okay, let me just get them out here. Okay, here it is. Right. Okay, Nimona Sellsword would like to thank Ewan McGregor for the wonderful beard. Nimona Sellsword would like to thank Shieldred for reanimating him and getting him back in the game. He would also like to thank Nirvana, the band, because that is the inspiration for the name Nimona, was from the band Nirvana. Kurt Cobain, R.I.P.
And of course, Ray Park.
Absolutely. Also thank Ray Park, because that's who played Darth Maul. Okay. What a wonderful time, Sean, as always, here at the Audrix. I hope everyone had a wonderful time, and we will see everyone next week with a brand new deck tech and a brand new Audrix Awards.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thanks for watching. If you love what we're doing, consider supporting the show by going to patreon.com/commandersbrew.
And if you want to get any of the cards from our deck list, go to our TCG player affiliate link below.
That helps us out too. And for a free way to help us out, consider sharing the show with some friends. Like and subscribe, add a comment or two.
See you later.
Bye.
We're clear.